amazing love. Do you know that God loves you, that He has a special plan for your life through His Word and by His Spirit? This program seeks to expand and deepen your understanding of God's amazing love for you. Now, here's your friend and God's handmaiden, Mary Winchell.
God's amazing love. He wants His people to enter the faith rest life. Oh, do we need that today? It seems as though anxiety and confusion and fear abounds around us. And yet, the Father is calling us to Himself to rest. Reading from Hebrews 4th chapter. Although God's promise still stands, His promise that all may enter His place of rest, we ought to tremble with fear because some of you may be on the verge of failing to get there at all. For this wonderful news, the message that God wants to save us, has been given to us just as it was to those who lived in the time of Moses. But it didn't do them any good because they didn't believe it. They didn't mix it with faith. For only we who believe God can enter into His place of rest. He has said, "I have sworn in my anger that those who don't believe me will never get in," even though He has been ready and waiting for them since the world began. We know He is ready and waiting because it is written that God rested on the seventh day of creation, having finished all that He had planned to make. Even so, they didn't get in, for God finally said, "They shall never enter my rest." Yet the promise remains, and some get in, but not those who had the first chance, for they disobeyed God and failed to enter. But He has set another time for coming in, and that time is now. He announced it through King David long years before man's first failure to enter, saying in the words already quoted, "Today, when you hear Him calling, do not harden your hearts against Him." This new place of rest He is talking about does not mean the land of Israel that Joshua led them into. If that were what God meant, He would not have spoken long afterwards about today being the time to get in. So there is a full, complete rest still waiting for the people of God. Christ has already entered in. He is resting from His work, just as God did after creation. Let us do our best to go into that place of rest, being careful not to disobey God as the children of Israel did, thus failing to get in. For whatever God says to us is full of living power. It is sharper than the sharpest dagger, cutting swift and deep into our innermost thoughts and desires with all their parts, exposing us for what we really are. He knows about everyone, everywhere. Everything about us is bare and wide open. To the all-seeing eye of the living God, nothing can be hidden from Him, to whom we must explain all that we have done. God is calling His people to a faith rest life. Reading from the 14th verse, "But Jesus, the Son of God, is our high priest, who has gone to heaven itself to help us. Therefore, let us never stop trusting Him. This high priest of ours understands our weakness, since He had the same temptations we do, though He never once gave way to them in sin. So let us come boldly to the very throne of God and stay there to receive His mercy and to find grace to help us in our time of need." Jesus wants to lead us into the land of promise. That's right, where all the promises are fulfilled, but it's really up to us to enter that faith rest life, to believe that He is, that He watches over His word to perform it, that He is faithful, that His word is true. Reading from Deuteronomy 30th chapter, 15th verse. "Look, today I have set before you life and death, depending on whether you obey or disobey. I have commanded you today to love the Lord your God and to follow His paths and keep His laws, so that you will live and make a great nation, so that the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are about to possess. But if your hearts turn away and you won't listen, if you are drawn away to worship other gods, then I declare to you this day that you shall surely perish. you will not have a long, good life in the land you are going in to possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you that today I have set before you life and death, blessings or curse. Oh, that you would choose life, that you and your children might live. Choose to love the Lord your God and obey Him and to cling to Him, for He is your life and the length of your days. You will then be able to live safely in the land the Lord promised your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The former generation died in the desert because of unbelief. But the Lord Jesus tells us to choose the faith rest life, to believe that He is. The Israelites complained and murmured in their tent. Of course, 40 years was a long time to wander in the desert, so I don't stand in judgment of them. But I know that was prior to our Lord Jesus Christ, our High Priest, that ever lives to do intercession for you and for me. And He's calling us to come boldly before His throne of grace, to trust Him, to ask of Him, to believe that He hears our prayers, to be anxious for nothing, not to be driven by the pressures of this life. There are so many pressures today, mainly financial, in some areas political, emotional. There are so many things that demand our attention that would have us confused, nervous, choosing not even to be here. There are so many people that are walking around with the spirit of death because they have not chosen life. And Jesus says, He is the truth, the life, and the way. And the word in Deuteronomy, choose life. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day. I've set before you life and death, blessings or curse. We can live under the blessings of Abraham. We are born again, knowing Jesus in our heart. We have the blessings of Abraham. But if we choose not to walk in the blessings, if we choose negative behavior, if we choose not to believe what God says in His Word, what our mind would tell us, what the world would tell us, we can be so deceived that that becomes a reality, and our mind isn't even sound anymore. There is so much negativity in the airways, even in those that we love, those people that are close to us. So much negative information, and our speech becomes negative. And we must guard our speech. Out of the heart the mouth speaketh. And we can curse our own circumstances. Words have power. The world. God spoke the world into existence. There are power words. And there is power in the words that we say. And we will have to give an account for those words. Words hurt. Words wound. Words can heal. Words can build. Oh God, that I might speak life to those around me, that I might speak faith words, that I might speak the promises of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, that I might encourage myself with the word of God, that my thoughts would be words of life, that I would bless and not curse, bless my own life with the words that I speak and not curse it. We can curse ourselves, curse our children by our negative speech. Oh, that our words be pleasing unto Thee, O God. That we not murmur and complain against You what we do not have. The very saying of those words, speaking those words, have power. Words are creative. There's a creative force. And oh, if it's so much for the negative, how much for the blessing? That our words be pleasing unto Him. Speaking words of faith. Truth spoken in love. But quoting from His word that we know is true.
What is truth but the mighty presence of your word? What is life but the sharing of your love? Truth is a
priest. If we have any concerns, instead of complaining, life is filled with disappointments. Things do not work out the way we want them to. But we can go to Him. The Word tells us that Jesus ever liveth to do intercession for us. We can come boldly before the throne of grace and tell Him our hearts, because He was tempted in every way that we have been tempted. He walked this earth. I'm sure He ran into every type of personality and every type of problem in His short life. And that is why He so can empathize with us. He knows our weakness. He knows our flesh. And yet the pattern Son showed us how to live the life, how to walk the walk and talk the talk. When things were difficult for Him, He withdrew and spoke to his father. He spent quite a bit of time talking to his dad, who is our father now that Jesus Christ has ascended. If you see me, you see the Father, and no one can come to the Father except through me. So we can go to the Father and ask anything in the name of his Son. There is no need to murmur or complain, but come to the throne and ask. But when we come and ask, we have to believe that we receive. God's time frame, as you have noticed and I have noticed, is not my time frame. It seems to be about 50 seconds or 30 seconds before the top of the hour. And it seems as though it's never going to happen. And years go by sometimes. But years don't mean anything to our Savior. He's not in our time frame. But our prayers will be answered. We have to have the faith to believe and praise Him while we're waiting for the answer. Praise delights Him. We're thanking Him that that answer has already come down from heaven and we're just waiting for it to be manifested in our life. And it is true. So come, ask, and believe that He hears. The smallest prayer. Sometimes our faith is so little. Oh God, help us to believe. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and sometimes it helps to read the Word of God aloud to ourselves that we might hear it, that it might become part of us, not just reading words on a page, but that the living Word might become a reality. So when I read the Word of God, my faith grows. Faith comes by hearing. We must hear it. We must speak it. Not only that, but the Lord wants us to become the Word, that we're not just hearers, but that the Word becomes our flesh. It doesn't just tickle, it becomes a reality. And when I believe what the Word says, my faith grows. God is not a man that he should lie. And I can believe for larger things as I trust him in the smaller issues of life. I know in my mind, I always thought God was so busy, I couldn't pray and bother him with the little things of life. The Lord wants us to ask about the small things. When we ask about the small things, then we can trust him for the big things. He is here. He knows your heart, but he wants you and I to express how we feel to him. The alternate to this is unbelief. And that is a great sin, unbelief. We have to believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So let's not murmur and complain. Sometimes we do this almost subconsciously because the people around us are complaining. We can complain about the price of gas, oil, food, clothing, the temperature. It's either too hot, too cold, too humid. Oh, that's the easy one, it seems. But many times we start murmuring about things that God has called us to walk into and walk with. And we defeat our prayer life with our negative speech. The Word tells us to come before the throne of grace to ask and to believe, and then we shall receive.
All that they say, I mourn with every sorrow. I grieve with every pain. Yet all the while I'm strengthening and blessing them again. I want so much to be their source from which they feed. For I and only I can give them what they need. That's why within the pages of my written word, time and time again, this simple line is often heard. Ask of me, don't turn to any other. Can't you see? You'll never be a bother. Just believe that I can be your answer, my beloved child. Ask of me, don't search in other places. Can't you see that I'll be your oasis in that dry and thirsty world you live in? I'll be your cup of water if only you will give in and ask of me.
So many times with problems, we will go to some friends and tell them what is bothering us. And if you have a Christian friend, great power in prayer to believe God for a given thing if you're going through a difficult time. But choose a prayer partner that has faith, that's not wavering, that will not commiserate with your problems. It's wonderful to have compassion for someone, but not to so empathize with them, not to have the word of faith. We need those that will use the sword of the Spirit. And the Father will knit us together with those that have faith. And we sometimes need to be on call for the brethren. We need to encourage each other in our walk, because the facts of life can be very defeating. Facts can cancel out your faith. We are not to deny reality that there are problems, but there are two ways of dealing with it. Seeing and hearing what the facts are, and accepting them, accepting the negative, or going to Father God and telling Him what is on our mind. And sometimes I know my prayer is very short. It's just, help. I need you now. We don't have to be flowery in our communication with God. Tell Him what seems to be the facts. Put the problem into Father's hands and believe that He will move in your behalf. He will give you the wisdom, the knowledge, the discernment. See, all creativity comes from Father God. All knowledge and wisdom comes from Him. The book of James tells us that if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God and He will give it. But we have to ask in faith, believing that we will receive it. He will give you the discernment. He will give you that word and season you need to sustain you. When we ask of Him, then we have to listen to hear what He has to say. To be perceptive, knowing that He loves you with an amazing love and He wants to move in your behalf. Sometimes He'll tell us, wait, not now. He might be doing something else in the meantime. Our timing isn't right. We need more information. He is calling us to that faith rest life, to believe and to receive. We need to listen. He loves you with an amazing love, and He wants to help you. God bless.
We hope you've enjoyed Mary's message. To listen to more messages of God's amazing love for all mankind, visit her website at amazingloveministries.org.